It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Garlic is super easy to peel. That's what I'm going with. If there's one thing I have learned, it is that podcasts get get known via hot takes that cause controversy. And so I'm going with this one. I've talked before about everybody comes up with different garlic peeling methods. And I find it weird because I don't find garlic that hard to peel. Well, now I've been cooking a lot more. I've been using a lot of garlic. And I am now going beyond it's not that difficult to it's really easy. You take the clove of garlic and you smush it in some capacity until the skin breaks. That's it. I did it originally with my mortar and pestle, and I would just be bonk, 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 and it would snap the skin, and then you peel the skin off. Then my wife was like, I just used the flat of the chef's knife, and so I did that. Today, I'm making a marinade for some pork chops. I just did it with the heel of my hand, just on the counter, just like, and then I peeled them. It's easy. Stop trying to come up with weird methods or whatever. It's simple. Do it. And anybody who says otherwise is a punk, and I hate them, and they should have their vote taken away as citizens.
Yeah, it's immoral to assert that.
Absolutely. You're ruining the next generation. This is how you get. We got to stir up controversy. That's going to do it. And this is, but I'm unwilling to do it on stuff that actually matters. So tune in next week for my feelings on which way the toilet paper should go on the roll. Because I got some strong ass feelings about that.
I'm not sure that people who have hot takes and make a huge controversy out of things, even if the things themselves are politically consequential, I don't think they're particularly consequential to those people. I don't think they really about those issues at all.
That's how you can do it. You can make a hot take about something that you don't have anything to do with because it's really easy. If it involves your life, you understand the complications of it. If it doesn't, you're like,
Yeah.
That's why so many rich people have so much to say about poverty.
Yeah. And so many white people have so much to say about racism. Yeah, that's right. It's crazy.
It's coming out more gray on this camera, but it's sort of a iridescent green, maybe heading toward turquoise. It's really coming out gray on camera. It's called Akira, spelled with a Y. So I've now determined that Zoya names its colors based on the names of children with parents who are quirky. but yes, it's Akira with a Y. But yeah, it's way greener than it shows here. But I think I've worked out a cycle that's about 2 weeks long wherein I alter the color of my nails and I keep them decently short so they do not bother me, things like that. So good. That's fun. I'm sure in a few months I'll get tired of it, but for now I'm digging it. I want to talk for a second about muscle memory because muscle memory is interesting to me. Probably because I play a lot of Assassin's Creed and they have this thing where like your entire history is in your genetic code, which is like bullshit, but muscle memory is like close to that, and I find that kind of cool. Like your brain doesn't think about shit, but it just happens. And I realized recently there is a very specific and very interesting and very weird version of this. And that is cleaning yourself in the shower. Okay. Now, for those of you who are just listening and can't see, you wouldn't have witnessed the look on William's face. That means his butthole tightened up slightly because he's worried about where I'm going to go here. But I'm not going to, don't worry, we're not going to get into specifics or anything. I'm just saying, you and everybody at home, picture or just think about when you're in the shower and you're cleaning yourself. What specifically do you do? Because I think that you will find there is an extremely specific order of operations that is based on, I mean, maybe generally based on a rational theory, but mostly sort of just arbitrary. Because there is for me, I mean, I do the what I think most people do, the general top to bottom, because you're letting gravity help you and all that. But like, it very specifically is like left armpit and then chest and like, and things that like don't match up, but I just do them on reflex. And when I stop and think about them, I'm like, I don't know why. At some point, my body decided that's how I do that. And I do it without thinking, but I have no idea where it comes from.
I suspect people brush their teeth often the same way every time also.
I think you're right. I'm a little in my own head about that lately, so I've been doing it differently, but I think in general, you're right. And then just gestures and things. When this first popped into my head is the other day I got in the shower and the first thing I was doing was wetting my hair, and I was running my hands through my hair, and I realized I'd done it about 7 times in the same exact motion. And it wasn't a motion that I ever use on the rare occasions I run my hand through my hair, not in the shower. And the one I've had for years is in the shower or in the pool or something. When I get water on my face, I have this thing that I do like this. And it's rather uncomfortable when I'm thinking about it. But when I'm not thinking about it, I will do it like 5 times in a row to rub the water off of my face. But it's like I just squeegee my own face and don't even think. But if I stop to think about it, I'm like, this is uncomfortable. What am I doing? And yeah, people always talk about shower thoughts. The shower is like one of those places where your brain, I don't want to say turns off, but like untethers in a way. And it's weird that like your muscle memory plays such a bigger role there than it does other places. And that it doesn't make sense when I stop and think about it.
Well, it might be a little different for me because I'm a person who has struggled with memory problems my whole life. So I tend to think about whether or not something is becoming habitual, because I'm afraid that if I don't develop a muscle memory about something, I'll forget. Like, I won't brush a certain part of my mouth, or I won't clean a certain part of myself, or whatever. So I need to pay attention. Like, I need to actually think about it when I'm doing it and then say to myself, okay, this is how I want to keep doing this until I don't have to think about it anymore, because I will forget.
So you have very consciously constructed these patterns as opposed to just letting them take place.
I feel like I have, because I always have to think about, I mean, and this has gotten worse with age. I mean, when I do the dishes in my dishwasher, I sometimes forget even to start it. Or I'll start it, like in the middle of the dishwasher cycle, I'll have to check to see if I even started it. And then I might not remember having put soap in it. And a couple of times I've actually stopped the dishwasher to check if I put soap in it. So, I mean, I have to have these habits or I will forget to do important pieces of the process. So
I
do think about it.
Never had that problem ever. I'm starting to, and it's becoming a thing. I am about to buy a pill case because I currently can just grab it each day and it's not an issue. And I have the bottles in places so I know which one is which and all that. But I take pills at 2 different times a day. And first of all, I've now had two different times, at least I'm fairly certain. One I know for sure, but the other I suspect, where I accidentally took a blood pressure medication that I take at night, also in the morning, and it had seriously bad consequences. Right. But also, now that I am not going to work or even getting ready for work, I don't have a set routine where it's like, now I take my pills. So I will sometimes have times where I'm like, I am not positive I took them. Right. And so these kind of things are starting to kick in for me. And it's a problem because it has caused me, and I think I've talked about this before, it has caused me very much to realize how much I rely on my memory for everything. Very much so. I don't write shit down and stuff like that because I'm very good at remembering. I have quite a weirdly good memory about most things, and it's going to fail me as I get older. That's a thing that happens.
Yeah, that is.
And I have no support network in place for that, and I need to work on it. And it goes bigger. Trish has a lot of things that she forgets. And we've now established ways where I help her with that because I'm very good at that. But like when it starts to go for me, then I will forget the things that I help to keep her going.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the one who fills her pill case because she couldn't remember to do it. And sometimes I forget now and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, if I'd been prescribed a lot of pills to take, I would have had to get one of those pill case things, and I would have been glad they existed because I have just always had memory problems, and they are just a little bit worse now than they were before. So I've got to do those things.
I've used them, but it used to be a convenience thing for it's easier than having to collect all the pills at once. But then I was like, that's not that big a deal. So then I stopped. But now I'm like, no, I think I need to do it again, especially now that I have a thing where I take pills in the morning and I take pills at night. And that used to not be a big thing because my night pills were just more of the fairly innocuous diabetes pills that I take twice a day. So like missing them or taking weird time is not a big deal. Mm. But now one of my blood pressure meds is at night, and yeah, I've discovered if I take it the wrong time or take it the wrong time and then again at the right time, I am not in good condition. So yeah, it's become a bigger deal and it's easier for me to forget, so I gotta watch out for that. Hello everyone. I just spit on the screen here. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that honestly is probably best known for our 1999 communist propaganda film, Little Trouble in Big China. But we are working to overcome that reputation and do something new. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 528.
I just love that idea. For some reason, the other day, I was thinking because that has become its own sort of meme over the years. Big Trouble in Little Something, because of Big Trouble in China, an incredible movie, by the way. And I, for some reason, in my head, I went Little Trouble in Big China, and I'm like, that's just propaganda. It's like, no, here in Big China, we have very little trouble.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be nice. 528, goodness gracious.
Yep.
And special day today. How are you feeling?
Well, I presume you're asking because of my vaccination yesterday.
I am, in fact.
J&J vaccination. So right after the vaccination, my arm was noticeably sore, but like, I needed to stay in the pharmacy there for like 15 minutes. I had a timer and everything I had to carry with me. And by the time the timer was out, I didn't really feel any pain in my arm at all. And
that's interesting because most of us didn't feel any at first, and then later it would get sore.
Yeah. Now this morning when I woke up, my arm was sore and a little puffy, but I think that's partly because while I was sleeping, I was like lying on it. I mean, I think I probably irritated it overnight. Right now, there's only a little pain if I move it a very specific way, but I don't really feel anything. I haven't had any kind of side effects that they've, you know, listed or anything like that. I don't know if I will, but I mean, it's been over, you know, 24 hours now. So,
You got the Johnson & Johnson one, so it's a very different ball game.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of folks, most of the side effects were in the second shot. Of course, you don't have a second shot.
Correct.
And this is why it is a special day for me, because this, you are officially it. The adults in my life. Hello?
Hold on a second. This might be important. I don't know.
Yeah, my car warranty is about to expire, and I was really hoping.
Oh. That was dumb.
Your phone is ringing. Your phone is ringing. Hello.
You know, that ringtone is gone forever.
Oh. I loved that ringtone.
I'm trying to see if anyone leaves a message or what. I don't hear Abby like shuffling around to go. But I thought I would hear, but I don't know why what I was thinking. So when the message, okay, so there's two phones. There's this one and there's one upstairs. And when the answering machine answers, you can hear it up there, but not never here. So I don't know what I was thinking was going to happen. But I think they hung up, but I'm not getting anything to indicate that they left a message. So it was probably nobody. So if it was anyone, if it was anyone important, they would have. You know, there's a little red light up here that would start flashing if they left a message, and anyone important would have left a message.
The magic of landlines.
Well, I wouldn't even care if, like, you know, there wasn't stuff going on. Like, you know, we're getting calls from people we actually want to talk to. happening. That's happening now. So
when we have those, they get our cell phone. I mean, fun fact, my wife might be mad that I say this on the podcast on the internet. We still have a landline and literally nothing is attached to it. So it doesn't ring. There is no way to leave a message, but we still give it out when we're giving it out to businesses that we very much do not ever want to be able to contact us via phone.
Well, the thing about it is my phone, for some reason, I don't know what the deal is. Maybe because I put it in a protective case and maybe I put it on wrong. But when people call me, they can't hear me at all if I'm not on speaker. And if I am on speaker, they can't hear me well. So I give people this number because I want them to call it because then they can hear me. But that means I do have to pay attention to, like, you know, if I give it to someone and I know they're going to call me back and I know I have to kind of answer when they call, you know, that usually isn't the case. Usually the only people who call this number are people who want money or people who want to scam us, telling us that the IRS is going to
IRS make lawsuit on you.
Yeah. Stuff like that. But lately there have been people because of certain things going on in our lives at the moment, there have been people calling this number who we actually want to talk to. So we kind of have to pick up.
I want money from you and want to scam you. Maybe I should be calling that number.
Yeah. You call that number, but you'll get our answering machine and you know, maybe we'll pick it up or maybe we won't.
My sister only, I mean, she technically has a cell phone, but not a smartphone, and it's a mess. She basically just has a landline and an answering machine. So when I call them, I add in all of the various scams I can think of into my message. Like the car warranty expired, IRS make lawsuit on them, their social insurance number, which is a Canadian thing, has been suspended. Pending investigation.
The police are coming to your house right now.
All sorts of crap.
Sorry, fun. I didn't mean to. What were we talking about?
I was talking about, is this a special day for me?
Oh, yeah.
Because you are it. You and your wife are the last adults in my life to schedule vaccines. And so starting today, and I did it today for the first time, I officially didn't go to any of the websites I go to looking for where vaccine appointments are available. The first time. Very excited. I got my second one.
Yeah.
The day after we recorded our last podcast. Or no, no, no. 2 ago, because tomorrow is when my 2 weeks are up.
Yeah, I think you said when you got your second one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Trish's 2 weeks up are the next day. It's also our anniversary, so we are going to a favorite restaurant of ours in town, and I am very excited.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes. We won't do that a lot, and we sort of base it on when and where and stuff. I'm a little nervous because it is a downtown restaurant, and apparently Iowa City is going crazy this weekend. They're having a lot of like outdoor activities and stuff. Well, first of all, the weather's finally getting good and everybody's stir crazy. But we've also hit the point, and this is probably true nationwide, we've hit the point where people who aren't just people in nursing homes have gotten their vaccines and waited long enough. So like the first people who are sort of allowed out are starting to go out. And unfortunately, right, they're all doing it at once. Made me a little uncomfortable. The vast majority of what I have planned, and there is a lot because I'm very excited about this, involves me and other vaccinated people in private homes. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited. I've got timetables, like these people's vaccines here. So like the day after our anniversary, we finally get together with neighbors again, which is great. And then once their vaccines kick in, I've got other ones. I think the weekend of the 16th through 18th, I've got a couple different things going. And so I'm mostly doing that. Not too much in restaurants, but it depends on a lot of factors. To that end, I would like to invite you, Mr. Man, the Wednesday after the next Wednesday, aka the first day you officially have got your vaccine fully loaded. After I drop my wife off at work or at whatever point in the morning works, I'll come and get you and we will go have breakfast at IHOP, which being the middle of a week after the time when most people have gone to work should not be particularly crowded and probably low risk for us. What say you?
That sounds pretty good. I'd have to look at my schedule to make sure. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of stuff going on. And at that point, by then, I mean, we haven't talked about this, but by then,
my phone is blowing up. I just need to make sure that nothing's terrifying.
We both have this problem.
It's really buzzing a lot. Oh, God, they're talking about gardening. Fuck up. Okay. Sorry,
We haven't talked about this, but by then I will be taking an online class. I've already told you, but I've been accepted into a master's program, an online master's program that I'm hopefully going to complete toward getting a license, an Iowa licensure for licensed mental health counselor. And that'll take a couple of years, maybe three.
I wanted to talk about this last week, but you didn't want to talk about it. Yes, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, that starts on the 10th. I don't know what that's going to be like. So
okay.
I'm a little worried I'll be kind of overwhelmed by that.
Which is fine. And as you know, I eventually want to turn this breakfast into a regular thing. I don't think there's anything particular about Wednesday. It may not even be the most ideal day. I only picked it in this case because it's specifically the first day that you're free.
Yeah.
As a vaccinated person, but I am happy to adjust based on your business.
Yeah, let's definitely do it. Let me feel things out. And also, I mean, I might even look at Wednesday and realize there's some other thing going on. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, sort of later. And maybe that'll work. Hopefully it will. Cause I'd like to do it sooner than later too, but
yeah.
You know,
I need that fucking maple butter pecan syrup. Also seeing you would be nice, but mostly butter pecan syrup.
Yeah, I look very forward to us being able to talk in person, because that's, I mean, you know, that's the best way. I mean, I love podcasting. I love our listeners and everything, but it's best to talk to you in person.
And there are so many nefarious secrets we both have that we really don't want to share with these people. And it's good to give us a chance to do that. Also, to get our story straight for when we are on the podcast.
Right.
Our alibis worked out, yeah. Stuff like that. For those of you who's new to the show, I should explain. We have a hat. It's magic.
Yeah.
In that it has its own. Slowly but surely, the spiel is turning into like the world's worst Christopher Walken impression, I feel like. It's magic in that it has its own email address. The Magical Talking Hat at gmail.com. Okay, there's a little Shatner in there too. People like yourselves, good people, people we love, right into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, no big whoop. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails. Maybe this is just a collaboration of every Kevin Pollak impression he's ever done, into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's post-secondary servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is the vast majority, as you've already seen.
As you've already seen. Yeah.
So how's your week been besides getting vaccinated and getting ready for school? You got your trapper keepers?
The thing is, so I'm starting class sort of at an off time. Like the way this works for this online school is their year starts in July or something. And so since I'm starting in May, I can only take one class. As it works out, I'll probably be taking two or three classes every quarter. And a quarter is what it sounds like, you know, a 3-month period. And so since I'm starting kind of at an off time, I'll be taking one class. It's like a survey class, and I think it's going to be a month or two. So that's kind of cool that I can start out sort of slow or whatever.
Ramp up, yeah.
There's one online book, so I don't have to like buy an actual book. Although this place is pretty heavy on, because it's an online degree, they're pretty heavy on writing, right? They're going to assign a lot of writing, and they're pretty heavy on your writing conforming to a particular style, specifically the American Psychology Association, Psychologist Association, APA, whatever.
APA, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, APA style. So I had to get that book, the latest 7th edition for APA style, so I'll know how to, you know, write my papers or whatever. So hopefully it won't, and it, as it turns out this past week, you know, I have been thinking a lot about that because it's really coming up, you know, how this is all going to get started. And it might also, another thing that might also happen is I might, because I'm in a program, because I'm in a master's program, I can be hired and supervised by a licensed counselor to do counseling.
Like an apprenticeship vaguely thing.
Right. In the state of Iowa, you can do pretty much anyone can do counseling. They don't have to have a license. However, well, you remember, you know, when we made Inquire Within, that's actually something you could do in Iowa. You could put out a shingle and you could charge $20 a pop.
For Believe me, I have heavily considered it. Except nowadays we just call it life coaching.
What you couldn't do, however, is like process their insurance and get paid from insurance. You'd have to be a licensed counselor to do that. So a lot of licensed counselors, even though they could hire anybody to work for them, the only way they can collect insurance is if a person's not licensed, if they're supervising that person while they're in the program.
Yeah. Right?
So because I'm in a program, because I'm in a master's program, I could reasonably be hired by a counseling service, and as my supervisors, they could, someone could come and they could use their insurance, and I could counsel them based on that. So I might actually be counseling people in the near future, even as I'm taking classes.
I'll be very curious to how similar you feel it is to when we record these podcasts. I feel like there's going to be strong parallels.
Well, I'm a little, I'm kind of nervous about it because I've been in a lot of positions where I've been in, when I was a church elder and things like that, where I've been a person relied upon to do volunteer counseling, basically.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it in a professional capacity, there's all kinds of other things that come into it. Like knowing if the person you're counseling, needs medication and if you need to refer them to a psychiatrist. If the person has a problem, well, let's say the person has a phobia. Well, in most of today, I think the conventional wisdom among counselors is if you have a phobia, well, then you probably would best be served by a behavioral approach of exposure therapy and things like that. In other words, there's a specific procedure that goes with that specific diagnosis, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know vaguely what that's about, but I don't know specifically what that's about. So I have to learn how to do that.
What would be great is if there was some sort of schooling that would teach you those things that you could do maybe online, maybe that you paid a bunch of money for.
But what I'm saying is until that reaches certain points in my education, there might be things in the counseling situation that I might not really know how to do.
Yeah. And I think the odds of a current licensed counselor hiring you to counsel when in the interview you're like, yeah, I just started school and next week I'm super psyched are low.
Yeah, sure.
And in fact, if they do hire, like go on the interviews and if they offer you a position, like that's a red flag. I'm gonna say this. I don't think it is fair for me to make the broad assumption that I think you would be a good counselor and social worker. My hunch is that is true, but you haven't had the education yet, and so I feel like it is premature to really put money down on that one. But my hunch is that you will be good at it. What I can say with more confidence is I'm quite confident you won't be shit at it. I am quite confident you will not fuck it up. Like, okay, well, worst case scenario, you will be an ineffectual counselor and therapist. I do not think you will be a damaging one. And they exist, and I've had them. That won't be you.
I've taken two graduate courses in counseling psychology, and I've had some experience.
Yeah, but that was back in the 50s or whatever. So
I do think that when it comes to cognitive therapeutic approaches, Jungian psychotherapeutic approaches, and existential approaches, if a person comes and they can benefit from either Jungian psychotherapy, existential therapy, or cognitive therapy. I still have things to learn in all those areas, but I think I can probably do pretty well in those areas. If what they need is like behavioral, cognitive behavioral, or any other psychotherapy approach, or let's say they've come with PTSD, there's very specific really good modern therapies for trauma that I don't know. So, I mean, I might not be good at those things.
I would draw my earlier comment. You're a mess.
Well,
mean, we'll see how quick till you wash out. This is a disaster.
So yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I hope I'm, you know, reasonably good at it.
I suspect you will, having no basis for knowing what makes a good counselor exactly, but I know you, and I suspect you will.
It'd be nice to be reasonably good at something.
I'm also going to be very curious how your experience is of going back to school at this point, because it's not something I'm planning, but given my current position in life, it's definitely something that could happen to me and has always seemed really too much, like overwhelming to me, the idea of it. So I'm going to be very curious how the experience is for you.
Yeah, me too. I mean, one of the things that I want to do after I get a master's is teach, because that actually is something that before I left our previous employer, I was doing that. And I mean, I think I was pretty good at it. And part of what makes me think that is because I got feedback to that effect. I mean, a lot of the stuff I did as a teacher and a trainer for our previous employer, people were coming to me and asking me to do that. You know, I wasn't like pursuing it because, oh, I think I'm good at this, and I wasn't. I mean, people were saying, hey, you're pretty good at this. You should keep doing this.
We wanted you to feel useful. We were like, can you guys give something William to do? He sits around, he keeps talking about firemen, and we're starting to worry about it.
No, but I mean,
I've like, tried to keep him busy by telling him all about The Simpsons, but
there's
not enough.
There's a community college here, and for many years, actually, I thought how cool it would be if I could propose to them a introductory sociology course that I could teach there. And, you know, but of course they, you know, they have, you have to have a master's degree. That's all.
Yeah.
So if
unfortunately, that's like you saying, I have a seventh grade education, I could teach sixth grade. Like, yeah. Like I've had undergrad social, I could teach intro, surely.
Right. Well, so once I have a master's, maybe I can go to them and say, here's a class. I mean, I can lay it all out, propose it. And if they were like, yeah, sure, this will, you know, we can give someone college credit for this. Oh, man, I can't even tell you how excited I am just to think that could happen, that could actually happen.
So if it does, it's going to be psychology 140, only the good die young.
It'll probably be.
That has to be the name. We can change the number. That has to be the name. Only the good die young.
It'll probably be a lot of sociology with Carl Couch or whatever. But Carl Couch and Carl Jung, maybe they'll both be involved. You know, it'll be a Carl and Carl or something. A tale of two Carls.
Not as good an episode title. I'm sticking with mine.
Anyway, not something. I mean, I don't need to bore everybody with that nonsense. How was your week?
Pretty good. The weather's misbehaving. This has been a good week. So Trish is going back to work full time these days, and so I'm at the point where I'm like, this is what my life's going to be like, being home alone during the week. I need to start working out a sort of routine and schedule and things like that. Sure, and I've been doing that this week in particular. And I think I like it because I've hit a point where a lot of the house has been cleaned up and the parts that we largely live in are cleaned up pretty well. And I have a lot of maintenance now. Mm-hmm. I have vacuuming, I have laundry, I have cooking, I have, you know, I have to scrub the bathroom and things like that on a regular basis. So a given week for me has a lot of stuff built in before I've gotten to like a list of things I want to do. I also very much felt like it's time for me to try, and I was very focused on the homemaking and it was great. It's time for me to try and fit the writing back into it.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I am putting together, I'm sort of trying it out this week, a model where I maintain the house as I've done. Like I do the laundry, I do the cooking, I do the dishes, And then I clean on a periodic basis all the things that are already clean. I maintain them. And that has no particular schedule except as things are needed to be done. One day a week, which is specifically Wednesday, because that's the night I put the trash out, I focus on some part of the house that I have not yet cleaned. Mm-hmm. And I dedicate that day to working on that part of the house. And then in addition, the rest of the time, I set goals for myself in terms of writing and writing adjacent projects. And so that's what I've been doing this week. And consequently, in fact, right after this podcast is over, I will be finishing up the first summary of Odd Wings that I will need to query to agents. I say the first summary because it will be about 12 pages long and it needs to be about a page and a half. So my plan is I am then going to summarize the summary and possibly iterate that one or two more times until I can get down to a solid page and a half. But that is something I have been working on for literally months. And then this week dedicating, you know, 4 days primarily to that has helped a lot. But I still have been getting all the things done in the house. And then on Wednesday, I did a lot of work in a specific room that is not particularly cleaned yet. And you know, filled up both the trash and the recycling for the week. So that's a sign that I'm doing something right. So that's been good. I'm sleeping horribly and I don't know why.
That's too bad.
I'm sleeping very bad all the time. I thought today was going to be completely thrown off because I slept really bad last night. So I slept in later today. But I managed to catch up and now I'm doing good. In fact, while I was waiting for you to show up, I did more writing stuff so that I will have time before I have to make dinner. So that's going pretty good. I'm still playing Genshin Impact. I feel like I might be on the peak where I'm getting less interested, which is fine because I've spent a lot of time in it and it's been fun and I haven't spent any money on it. So we'll see. But they got a new update, big one. So there are a lot of new things. It's not impacting me quite yet, but no pun intended. We watched something. What movie did we see? We watched a movie, I thought. Oh, yeah. We watched a movie on Shudder called The Boys of Hell County. And Trish found it. And I don't know if you can see it other places than Shudder. I think I recommend it to most people. It is a horror comedy. Okay, you know how Shaun of the Dead happened and then everybody, especially in the British Isles, tried to remake Shaun of the Dead?
Sure.
This is Shaun of the Dead, but it's Northern Ireland and it's vampires. But it's good. I'm getting a weird static thing. Are you hearing that?
Our air conditioner just kicked on.
Maybe that's what I'm hearing. Maybe it's blowing the microphone.
Well, it might be because I'm feeling it. So, I mean, I have a guard here, so that won't happen, but it might be causing problems. I apologize.
I don't think it's that bad, but apologies to folks at home who are real audiophiles. But yeah, basically it's a small Irish town that apparently they're under the belief that Bram Stoker came up with Dracula when he visited them because they have a legend about a vampire called Abernacht and his cairn exists on this land. But of course there's a bypass going to come through and knock it down. And so they knock it down and then scary things start to happen. And it's fun and like whatever. Everybody's super Irish. So it can be hard, like the captions have a hard time following because we frequently watch stuff with the captions. And there are ones where it's like, there's no way that's what he said. And other times where it's like, I actually understood that captioner and that's not what that was. But it's fun. The thing I really liked, I was surprised at the tone of it. And then I realized what I thought was sort of amateurish was actually really well done. It's a black comedy in what I think is really the purest form. There are very dark emotional scenes that are treated legitimately as dark and emotional. And then they are intercut with the humor of sort of like, well, realistically, in this odd supernatural situation, this is how real people would be. And so at first it felt a little disjointed. And then I was like, no, this is what black comedy is supposed to be, is treating the darkness seriously, but then also giving like a reasonably like pointing, it's funny because it's true reaction.
Right. Right. Right.
And it does go over the top. I mean, the climax of the film does a thing that I'm like, even knowing that like physics and medical science and all that is not on the table here because it's a low budget horror comedy. Like, even I'm like, this moment is over the top to just an insane degree. But that was kind of funny because like they had finally hit that point where I'm like, okay, no, this one instance is past my line of disbelief on this, but only that one. And then otherwise it's fine. So that was kind of fun, but I liked it. So if that is the kind of movie you think you would be into, I would recommend it to people. The Boys of Hell County. It's on Shudder, which I don't know that anybody who listens to this show has. I talk a lot about movies that nobody else would watch or be interested in on this show. And I'm about to do it again right now. Because I saw a movie last night that I actually found interesting that nobody else is going to want to see, but I might recommend. Because guess what? It's another fake found footage, low budget bullshit movie. But once again, it did something novel. And so I found it kind of cool. And this one's to a degree that I'm like, it might actually be worth watching. And I'm going to try and explain this, but it's complicated. So what I'm about to explain to you is within the fiction of the film. Okay? So none of this is like what's actually happening. So within the fiction of the film, a woman in a house that they relatively recently purchased found behind like their water heater or whatever, a box of old mini DV cassettes. She presented them to her son-in-law, who is / was a filmmaker. Like, he got a film school degree, but now films weddings and stuff because he was not successful as a filmmaker, but is still very much into that. And he has watched them. And what they appear to be is, this is all said in 2015. The film's like 2017 or something. What they appear to be are two film school students in 2004 making a senior thesis documentary about a particular urban legend. And then, of course, on the films, the legend sort of becoming true and eventually killing them, essentially, we assume at this point. The filmmaker in 2017 is attempting to turn this into a documentary and sort of evidence of the existence of the supernatural. The movie that we're watching is a different documentary crew making a documentary about him attempting to do this. So it is a documentary about a guy trying to make a documentary based on some footage he found of some other people trying to make a documentary.
Okay.
Which sounds horrible, but it's not, because there is found like the bottom layer of this is found footage like the other. Like we go through the whole thing of like trying to see if the urban legend is true, and it isn't, but then we catch some things. And this one is very interesting because the urban legend is based on, if you stand in a certain place by a train tunnel and keep your eyes open, unblinking, for an hour at midnight, the monster appears to you. But then you never can't unsee him, and eventually he gets closer to you every time you blink, and he'll eventually kill you. And they can't do this, but what they end up doing is using a camera to film a single shot for an hour to see what will happen, and they end up getting what they think is him on the film. And then it becomes weird because the rules are different because it's a camera, and hijinks ensue. The middle layer is this failed filmmaker attempting to sell this, but he's having nothing but trouble. He has no money to do this, and the footage is not compelling enough. And it gets very meta because a lot of people in this film talk about how the footage does a lot of tricks that found footage films use, and how they're to the degree of like the narrative is going in this way and it goes that way, so you don't have to see such and such, or so this supports this in the story rather than how it would work in reality, to the degree that they get some real people, including the actual guy who made the Blair Witch movies, as himself commenting on this in the film. And that's fascinating to me because, yeah, it is essentially picking apart its own thing, but we very much occasionally see things that we're like, but this one's harder to explain and stuff. So there's a lot of questions going on, and the story at its most interesting is this failed filmmaker getting very frustrated because like nobody will believe him, or and he says like he's just trying to find the truth, and people keep saying like, if you think this is a real thing, this should be handed over to the police. Instead, you are trying to make a movie out of it. What is that about? And he sort of makes excuses for that. And it's this thing where he's like, I just want to be able to find the truth. But what he really wants is just find someone to convincingly tell him he's true so that he can make money off it. Except he very clearly believes it's real. Mm. And so he wants, and so that takes a turn. And it gets to the point where literal, and outside of the fiction, the writer and director of this movie and several members of the crew play themselves in the movie, making this documentary about this guy, mm-hmm. as things get sort of weirder and different. And looking through the credits and stuff, they use a lot of real people. There's a point where the filmmaker goes and tries to sell this idea to basically a ghost hunting society in Maryland. This all is in Maryland. And they don't buy it, but it looks like they legit used a real ghost hunting society and just like had them play the part of like saying, no, this, I mean, I don't think they like Borat-ed them and like fooled them, but I think they went there and said, we are going to have this actor come in and try and sell you on this, and we want you guys not to believe it, but like real people. So that was fascinating. And there's a whole thing at the beginning of like, there's no evidence of these two students from 2004. But then later we find like one of the guys who was in one of the interviews, and he's apparently an author of this series of books about like famous folklore and stuff. And I don't know if he really is the author of that series, but that series really exists. Mm. So it's just, it's a very, I think it was a very interesting film to watch for this reason. I also just like the idea. Something fresh to do with found footage. And so I found that very cool. So it's called Butterfly Kisses. Because most of the aspects of the urban legend are stupid as hell. And weirdly, when you get the few things that are like, this is clearly a thing you do in found footage and could be fake, but this thing I can't explain. The things they can't explain are the ones that I'm like, that's the one I believe the least. So that's a little weird, but it was kind of interesting. And yeah, it's free on Prime, so any of y'all can watch it. But yeah, I found it. I mean, it's not a great movie, but I found it compelling and I found it original. So I recommend it over a lot of the ones I talked about. So there's that. I still feel like Trish and I watched. Oh no, it was just Boys of Hell County. We've got some others on this. Oh, no. But we watched the first episode of Shadow and Bone on Netflix. Have you watched this yet? Mm-hmm. Have you watched the whole thing already? Because that's what you people do.
It's on Netflix, you said?
Yes.
Then yeah, we've watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it's all out there. We still haven't touched the Nevers yet. But yeah, we watched the entirety of that. Also, side note real quick, second season of A Black Lady Sketch Show has begun on HBO Max. Cannot recommend that more highly. Check it out, people. There's a whole season waiting for you if you haven't seen it yet. Anyway, so we watched Shadow and Bone. We watched the first episode. There has been concern. We've been talking about it on the blog because I'm worried that it's just the paranormal romance thing, and I fucking hate those. And Jazz is like, there is romance. But I feel better after the intro episode, because here's the thing. I don't hate romance within a story. I hate romance stories. So, like, if this is a big fantasy epic that has a subplot that is a romance, I could be on board. If this is a romance story that happens to be set against a backdrop of a fantasy world, go fuck yourself. And it appears so far to be the former. How did you feel about the show in a general sense, obviously, so as not to spoil anything? I mean, did you like it or not like it?
I would say overall we both liked it. Yeah, I mean, I could do without romance in any story, but I think what you're saying about how it's a fantasy story that's got romance in it rather than a romance story that's got fantasy in it. I mean, I think it is a fantasy story that just happens to have some romance in it.
Yeah. I
think
that's I'll feel much better about that. Cause yeah, that's too many where it's just the whole thing. Well, you know, the classic example, and don't get me wrong, there's a whole bunch of other wrong with it, but Twilight.
Yeah.
Twilight's not about vampires and werewolves in the supernatural world. Twilight's about a love triangle where one person happens to be a vampire and one person happens to be a werewolf. Fuck that. And the reason I hate these things is because in my experience, almost all narrative romances are completely unrealistic and often give terrible messages about how romance works and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. But this is a very intense and deep world that has been built. On paper, it has a whole bunch of things I hate. In the first episode, we've established not one but two kinds of fantasy racism, which I am fucking sick to death of. Mm-hmm. We have slavery, sorry, indentured servitude, but guess what? It's going to be slavery. And we had plenty of male dick measuring. Which I'm confident will only get worse. And all of these are things I am just fucking sick to death, especially the fantasy racism. I am so tired of fantasy racism in every form. Stop it. You're not saying anything new with it. It's annoying. Stop it. That being said, the acting, the production values, and the glimpse we've had at the mythology are all very compelling. So I plan to keep watching it for now. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like with the Irregulars. I think Abby and I are both just suckers for a well-played main female character, and that this has that just like Irregulars does, in my opinion.
Yes, which can be hard to do. And I will say this. The primary romantic narrative line in Irregulars season one, I enjoyed in the long run.
Okay, that's interesting.
At the beginning, we had a lot of components that I fucking hate, but much to my shock, we resolved those very quickly. We had a big part in the middle, because we have to have this in every romance in TV and movies, where people aren't telling each other things. And very specifically, it made no goddamn sense that they weren't telling each other things. And that pissed me off. But once we got past that, the romance felt realistic to me. And the big thing is, the two people in question played it realistically and had great chemistry. Like, I genuinely believe these people would make a relationship. Not that they were consumed by passion and loved, but like, these are two people that I'm like, yeah, they should date. They seem good together. And that happens so seldom. And so I was pleased with that eventually. I was really frustrated in the middle, but I was pleased. Yeah, and that surprised me as well. But again, irregulars, I mean, irregulars had so many issues, but consistency of character was a big one. By and large, they did really well with that. And that's a rare opportunity these days. Yeah, and I'm hoping, Shadow and Bone has a lot to speak against it, but it's just, they put a lot into this and it looks amazing. And I'm really curious as to the mythology. We're not covering a lot of new ground. There were multiple reveals in this first episode. Every single one I knew was coming years in advance. Some of them I knew before I knew Netflix existed. Like, I mean, some of these were just so, oh my God, what's this mysterious thing? It's the thing you were talking about. You know, the thing you were talking about vaguely, that's what this is. Because you talked about it, and it would do this, and this is what's happening. Therefore, it's that thing. And yet we had like three steps of, oh, it must be this kind of thing. Well, maybe this. It's specifically this. Yes, that's what I said. It's that we knew that was what it was. Because that's the only thing you talked about that's like that. Why else would you say it? It's that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're not watching a TV show, but I'm like the whole, I love this happens. Like, I love the whole reveal thing. And it's gotten to the point where they will give away reveals in trailers. And yet in the TV or movie, they will still act as though there is suspense drawing it out. And then boom. I recently had one where I was like, I forget what we were watching, but I was watching something and I'm like, this would be really tense if we didn't know exactly how the scene ends because we saw it in the trailer. Like, this moment right here would be really tense. I know exactly what's going to happen. They literally showed it to us. It'll probably happen in the next 30 seconds, but otherwise the suspense would be impressive. But yeah, it's very compelling so far. I very tentatively, since I only saw the first episode, recommend it if you like this epic fantasy business. And yeah, that vaguely sort of, it's not steampunk, but the Victorian romance fantasy sort of vibe. That's what we got going here.
With a heavy Slavic, kind of a Slavic flavor.
Yes,
to it,
everything's very Slavic, which is funny because nobody sounds it. I always love when they do that. It's like, we're taking the names from this place in the real world, and we're taking the accents from this completely different place in the real world. Huh. And we're taking the racism. Fuck off. All right. This is from Craig.
Okay.
Do you have any meals you specifically enjoy because you know there'll be leftovers?
No.
Really? None. I guess you barely eat food though, so. I would have some. The one definite one for me is lasagna. I like leftover lasagna, and I have never, regardless of the size of lasagna or the size of the group involved, been in a situation where an entire lasagna got eaten. There's always some leftover. And I love leftover lasagna. It's good. Historically, I liked leftover pizza. Nowadays, that happens less for me because I'm a monster. We get pizza usually. Trish and I each get our own pizza, and I will eat a large, like most of mine, and then I will put it away, and then before the night is done I will eat the rest, and I will always regret it. But on the times I don't do that, it's really great to be like, hey, leftover pizza. And cold pizza is awesome. Sometimes cold pizza is better than warm pizza. Sometimes it's not, I understand, but sometimes it is. I don't think I said, so did I talk about the other day I invented the greatest pizza ever and also the worst pizza ever.
No.
So we're ordering food. And Trisha's like, I want pizza tonight because we're going to order. And I was like, all right, what do you want? And she's got a couple that she likes. But she's like, weirdly, I'm in the mood for Pizza Hut, which she never is. But there's like a nostalgia thing there. Because we used to eat a lot more when we couldn't afford it and stuff and when there weren't as good pizza places. And I love Pizza Hut. I mean, it's garbage, but I love it. So I'm excited. I'm like, cool, Pizza Hut. So we order Pizza Hut. She gets what her usual is. And I'm like, do I want pepperoni lovers? Because I love pepperoni lovers, but it's ridiculous. It is so much pepperoni, which means so much pepperoni grease, that I'm not going to feel good after. And I'm really not going to feel good the next morning. I mean, if I can eat it carefully and only eat some of it, that's fine, but I hardly can. Because it's just, you know, hey, here's some carbs mixed in with all the pepperoni grease in the history of the world. Super tasty going down. After that, the process gets very uncomfortable pretty much to the end. And the older I get, the bigger deal this is. And so it's literally like, do I want pepperoni lovers? I don't know. What do I got going on tomorrow? But I decided to do it, and I get to the custom page, and it's just pepperoni, you know. And actually, it doesn't say anything else if you do a pepperoni. They didn't have to see it. It says pepperoni lovers, so they know that means, you know, all the pepperonis instead. But the rest of the options are there. And in the past, I have discovered the joy that is pepperoni and bacon, just normal pepperoni and bacon. It's very greasy, but it's very tasty. I like it because I love bacon. And so a little horrible voice emanating from right back here is like, would they just put bacon on top of pepperoni lovers? And I was like, surely there's laws against that. And the little voice is like, I don't think so. I mean, maybe respectable pizza places, but Pizza Hut? I mean, what have they got to lose? Like, come on. And I was like, you make a good point, terrible, evil voice that's going to kill me way early. Clicked add bacon. So the pizzas eventually show up. I say eventually. Pizza's very fast around here. They're not that far away. And I go get them, and I bring them in, and they've got them sealed now since COVID. They've got a little sticker on it. Like, nobody's touched it since we slid it out of the oven. And so this is always the thing, because I'm like, which one is Trish's and which one isn't? And also I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to break the seal on one. And Trish said, I think the bottom one is yours. And I was like, can you smell it from there? And she says, no. And I look, and the front of the cardboard is just soaked through with grease already. And I was like, that's probably mine, but let me double. Yeah, it was mine. It was mine. It's like, look at a pizza, and then you know how if you look at a puddle outside that has a little bit of oil spilled in it?
Yeah.
And it gets that rainbow shimmer. Like, that's the pizza doing that. The pizza had that little shimmer. It's kind of 3D. It was interesting. I mean, I put it in my mouth. And I've never been more conflicted in my life. I mean, like I didn't feel this conflicted the times when I failed to quit smoking. The times in my life where I was like, I can't stop, I have to go back to it. And I bought a pack of Camel Wide unfiltered and smoked it and hated myself. And it felt so good at the same time because that nicotine rush. No, this was more intense in both areas. This is the worst and greatest pizza of my life. I ate the entire thing that night.
Wow.
It was a medium thin crust, for the record. Towels were involved because of the grease situation. And it was like 2 days later, I spent quite a while in the restroom. And afterwards was like, I think the pizza has left me. Like, that's the only explanation for what just happened. Pizza's done. So the lesson here is, if you're as fucked up as me, you can put bacon on a Pepperoni Lover's Pizza Hut pizza. Mm-hmm. And I recommend / discourage it for everybody. But I also think you're a wimp if you don't do it. I dare you, not you, Veggie Head, but I dare you, meat eaters, to do it. I dare Azure Talon and Stu and Beth. You'll probably have to wait for a night when your children aren't there because you don't want them to see this. Do it. Do it. We have a lot of vegetarians that listen. So I got to. Mark, you can do this. Mark, come on. Pepperoni Lovers, bacon on top. They were not skimpy with the bacon either. And that's funny because pizza, some pizza places, like, there's just like crumbled piles. Like, they barely sort of mix it up in there. It's just like piles of bacon on top. Pizza Hut tends to mix it in, like if you get a meat lover or whatever. Not this time. Like, as if they knew. They were like, yeah, boy, get it. It's bacon. They were like, this may make the news tomorrow, so I want to make sure I get interviewed. So they went for it. It was something. Damn, now I want another one. Also, my guts are so tied in knots right now. Like, my body is panicking at the idea that I am thinking about it again. Like, I'm like, oh, I want this. And my body's like, oh my God, shut down, shut down. We can't let him pull this shit. If he thinks we're dead, he won't order a pizza. Come on. Got the meat sweats and everything.
Can you?
Not so far, but my body keeps trying.
You can't pull the whole possum trick on your brain, huh?
No, no, no. That muscle memory has not kicked in quite well enough yet.
So it achieves the exact opposite. Let's play dead, but yeah, your muscle memory still does it.
Because that's the thing. My mind does not wander when I'm focused on something like pizza. Like, my decisions are very deliberate. Craig, I would also say, in general, I have this for casserole dishes. Casserole dishes frequently have leftovers and frequently are kind of tasty when they're either cold or reheated for some reason.
Yeah.
So that is a thing. When I make some sort of casserole there, I'm like, this is going to be good leftovers. And that I have that sometimes. I think that's mostly it, but lasagna is the number one. Like, lasagna is never all gone, and cold lasagna is super tasty. That for me. Oh, see, yeah. I know we probably aren't going to do in person anymore, but it's too bad because I recently learned a new joke to say when the police sirens go by.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah. They're never going to sell much ice cream going that fast.
That's a good one. I like that.
Very nice. All right. If you'd like us to briefly touch on your question and then talk about my horrific eating disorders, write in to the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us your feelings on romance in stories. And have you watched Shadow and Bone yet? And also, what's your favorite pizza? Because mine is Greece, apparently.
Oh, man.
So that was years ago. I found out that people, like, especially with a New York style, if they do a pepperoni, like, they'll blot the grease off the top. I was so affronted. I was like, so let's get this pizza and then remove the best part before we eat it. They were like, but there's all that grease. I'm like, which is the most flavorful, tasty thing on this pizza. What are you doing? Check that out. Next week, we're back to the Chinese propaganda. So hopefully you enjoyed this instead, because next week it's going to be all about China's new 5-year plan and what it means to us.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.